The giving that comes from being in your heart leads to equality because it is based upon equality. The human heart carries this equalizing force wherever it moves, and it illuminates divisions in others by treating everyone with respect. Despite the mind's fears that equality will create a homogenized world in which everyone is the same, true equality is based upon respect for individual uniqueness. Indeed, it thrives on it. This kind of equality means starting with yourself. Giving is another place that the shadow frequency can hide and pull you down. Sometimes you may give to others out of a need for personal recognition or as a diversion from your own issues and fears. First of all, then, you must learn to give to yourself. As you will discover, it is through the love of your own self that you will find your love of others. In order to support another, you must first ask your heart how you can best support yourself, and out of that will come the answer of how to give so that both giver and receiver are fulfilled. To give to yourself in this way means to trust completely in the wisdom of your heart. It really is as simple as that. Experienced as friendship, the 37th gift is the glue that holds humanity together. In fact, true friendliness is the universal mark of the gift frequency. Our current age is truly an exciting time to be alive because this 37th gift is giving birth to a new social paradigm all across our planet. It will create out of itself a new social framework that synthesizes business, education, and family rather than setting them apart from each other. It will also bring an end to isolated family groupings and communities by networking, both geographically and globally, to create a new model for community that is based upon giving rather than controlling. This energetic type of friendliness will also bring an end to the notion of separate communities based on the worship of an external god or authority. Through the awakening of the 37th gift, each community will find that it holds the same core principle as all others, namely support of the earth and empowerment and nourishment of humanity as a whole. The 37th Siddhi, Tenderness, the Sacrificial Lamb. To enter fully into the mystery of the 37th Siddhi, we will have to move more deeply into the mythic figure of Christ. Although there have been other figures with a similar mythology to Christ, such as the Norse Odin, who was hung from a tree, or even the Egyptian Osiris, whose body parts were scattered far and wide, the figure of Christ and his exact mythology has entered so deeply into the world psyche that it has a particular resonance with the times in which we are living. One needs to be clear from the beginning that we are not talking here of the Christ as he is generally understood by the Christian religion. We are looking at this man's life as a symbol of a deep archetypal process that governs all human beings, regardless of their beliefs or culture. As the second aspect of the mysterious Trinity, the Christ unites the two polarities of the masculine Father, Prime Yang, with the feminine Holy Spirit, Prime Yin. This is why Jesus is said to be both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is the offspring of both Yin and Yang, and is therefore the great equalizing force between them. We have seen that the 37th gene key represents an evolutionary phase that is now coming to an end, which means that something new must also be born from it. The Christ myth itself must give birth to another dimension, and this dimension concerns the role of the feminine. As the story of Christ is currently understood, Jesus is seen as an embodiment of the divine man, born of a virgin womb and untarnished by sexuality. In the popular story, Jesus has no sexual encounter or attachment to women whatsoever. He stands alone as a proud and potent symbol of the patriarchy that sculpted this understanding of his life. However, without wishing to offend exponents of the popular version of the Jesus story, This interpretation of Jesus is somewhat sterile in terms of its connection to human sexuality. In the Christ myth, Jesus is pitted against sexuality in the form of the devil, and the devil has obvious connections to the feminine through the earlier myth of Eve and the serpent in the Garden of Eden. The 37th city is the city of tenderness, and tenderness is a quality most often associated with the exchange of love between a parent and child. Tenderness, in particular, is an archetypal motherly essence. Jesus himself is universally connected with the figure of the Lamb, whose essence is represented by this 37th city. This Lamb has a deep symbolism with our coming age because it represents the spirit of surrender to an overwhelming inner power. The sacrifice of the Lamb corresponds to the giving up of identification with outmoded outlooks and the embrace of a wider reality that lies beyond our current view. We, humanity, are the Lamb, and the universal spirit holds us in tenderness as a mother cradles her child. As individuals, we each have to bow our heads and accept the devil within us instead of pushing it down deeper into our psyche. The very thing that terrifies us the most will utterly transform us if we can but trust it. It is the source of our sexuality, the dark feminine shadow place within every human being that contains the greatest mystery of who we are and what we can one day become. The 37th gene key has emerged into our current world through the sacred sacrament of marriage. It became sullied and stagnant through its manifestation as a social contractual convention. The marriage we see in the world today is but a shadow of the true inner ideal of marriage. On an individual level, marriage concerns the inner balance and union of yin and yang within each human being. The Christ myth must, therefore, reflect this inner union through the marriage of Christ to his sacred bride, represented by Mary Magdalene. The modern resurgence of ideas that explore Christ's connections to the figure of the Magdalene can be seen as a reflection of the resurgence of the repressed divine feminine. The city of tenderness is the awakened aura of this mystical union, since tenderness is an energy devoid of tension or sexuality. It is, in fact, the transcendence of sexuality. A great paradox is emerging through this 37th city. The divine feminine will primarily enter the world through men via the power of the mother. The collective imbalance of the feminine archetype is not to be found in women, but in men. The counterbalance to this is the rising of the masculine force of independence burgeoning in women. It is through women's independence that a new social structure will be born in the world that will place the early upbringing of children before all other factors. When children are nurtured by both mothers and fathers, and mothers and fathers are properly supported rather than torn apart due to social tensions, then children will come into the world emotionally balanced. This 37th city of tenderness is the natural climate that surrounds all parents and children. When boys are brought into the world surrounded by this support and tenderness, their feminine side will no longer be compromised, and the world as we see it will begin to change as these boys grow into emotionally balanced men. Conversely, it is through future young girls that great social change will be brought into the world. Energetically speaking, it is the feminine that carries the vision of synthesis and the masculine that will build it. This is the generalized blueprint of future society. It will be a world in which the masculine principle serves the feminine principle. So what we are now seeing is not a decline of the family unit, but a complete redefining of what family really means. Family is the structure that creates an aura of tenderness across the planet, empowering individuals and supporting communities simultaneously. In the future, family will no longer be an isolated tribal phenomenon, but a collective breath pattern that unites all human beings. This is the future that is coming. It is the same vision that Christ held as the natural state of humanity. It is what he referred to as the kingdom of heaven. The 37th city is unique among the cities in that it does not manifest through a single individual. It is the heart of the human family, drawing all individuals into its infinitely soft and loving embrace. It is not a force outside of humanity, as we have assumed for so many eons, but is our collective inner nature. As a vital aspect of the genetic codon family, known as the Ring of Divinity, the 37th gene key has some very powerful genetic programming companions, the 22nd city of grace, the 36th city of compassion, and the 63rd city of truth. Each of these codes brings the eventual manifestation of the full divine being into the world. As we move beyond the tribal and blood definitions that have dictated our traditional lifestyle for so long, we will see how limiting our current definition of family really is. The 37th city is an upsurge of consciousness that will slowly unite human beings as the 55th gene key frees us from our victim consciousness. Tenderness is a force to be reckoned with, and as its programming partner, the 40th city of divine will, testifies, it is a force that has us all set in its sights. In its very softness, it is insurmountable, invincible, and inevitable. 38th Gene Key. The Warrior of Light. Programming Partner, 39th Gene Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Humanity. 10, 17, 21, 25, 38, 51. Physiology, adrenals. Amino acid, arginine. The 38th shadow, struggle. A fight without purpose. The 38th shadow joins its programming partner, the 39th shadow, to form a very heavy duo. This is ancient genetic programming based on individual survival. Both these shadows have strong connections with the animal kingdom through their role within early hominid history. Before we begin an exploration of the darker side of this 38th gene key, one should hold the following perspective. Without either of these shadows, there would probably be no humans walking the earth today. This can be a very dark place within the genetic matrix because it represents a primal energy whose main instinct when threatened is aggression. In animals, this natural ferocity is embodied in the behavior of a mother when her cubs are threatened. As this aspect of DNA developed in human beings, it became the foundation of the evolutionary law of the survival of the fittest. This gene key is also deeply connected to individual health and well-being. This same genetic wiring still influences all human beings today, regardless of how closely associated you are to this shadow. It is there in the collective energy field of humanity, and it is particularly strong when certain groups of human beings are threatened by other groups, manifesting strongly through its aggressive reactive side. This 38th shadow likes and needs a fight, and the nature of this fight is dependent upon its frequency. At a low frequency, this shadow fights with others, with itself, or with life itself. It is, after all, called the shadow of struggle. This kind of struggle is very disempowering, both for the struggler and for anyone else who happens to get locked into the combat. The word locked here is very appropriate, for that is the nature of this 38th gene key. You can see that the gift level is called perseverance, but at a lower frequency, this simply manifests as a stubborn persistence to fight, no matter what the outcome. When combined with its programming partner, the 39th shadow of provocation, the 38th shadow simply digs its teeth into someone or something and doesn't let go until that someone or something gives way. At a low frequency, this always causes some kind of destruction. More often than not, This shadow manifests in relationships when one or both people are not feeling fulfilled in their lives. The 38th shadow is about the battle to find a sense of purpose in life, and in this sense it also has a strong magnetic connection to the 28th shadow of purposelessness. If there is no real alignment of purpose within a being, then the provocation carries a frequency that results in a very destructive dynamic in the relationship. These kinds of dynamics, which are very common in the world, gradually grind down the love within the relationship, and the fighting actually becomes an addictive need. Every relationship has its own inner purpose. But if the purpose of two individuals is not initially aligned, then the true nature of the relationship never has a chance to reveal itself. There is a great deal of sadness within this 38th shadow. If there is no real sense of purpose in your life, one of the chief vents for this sadness is to channel it aggressively at those closest to you, usually members of your own family. Other than the absolute necessity of living out your true purpose, there is a great secret to breaking the addictive patterns of struggle embodied in this 38th gene key. Simply take a breath. Struggle is a pattern that locks you into a certain breath pattern that makes you totally forget yourself, as well as rendering you deaf to all outside influence. It is as though an outside force has you in its possession and forces you to keep banging your head, or someone else's, against a wall. The moment you take a breath and pause, the pattern is broken, and a space arises in which you can reorient your energies. At low frequencies, the tighter you hang on to things, the more resistance you create. By providing gaps in the pattern, you enable transformations to occur, and it is usually in these gaps that the answer to the struggle is resolved. You can actually see from these three shadows, the 28th, 38th, and 39th, how struggle and resistance allow you to diagnose whether you are fulfilling the true purpose of your life. In that sense, they can be extremely useful. At a collective level, this 38th shadow has other manifestations in the world. The human addiction to struggle and violence is compounded through the pairing of the 38th and 39th shadows. These shadows see everything at a personal level, which means that they have very little perspective. History has shown that many great wars have been fought because certain individuals in positions of power reacted aggressively to another individual or tribe based on a personal agenda. The 38th shadow is not an archetype that thinks. If it feels in any way threatened, it reacts in an extremely aggressive manner without consideration of who might be hurt. Many innocents have been slaughtered because of the 38th shadow acting without taking pause to consider the logic or justice of its action. The core of this individual need to struggle can only really be understood when it is viewed at an unconscious level. At the deepest level, struggle maintains the illusion of your separate identity. As long as you can fight, you can remain in control of your environment. This reflects the greatest human fear. If there is nothing left to fight for, you may cease to exist. It is the unconscious fear of death that prevents human beings from transcending their individuality. The 38th gift invites you to transcend your separateness through your individuality by means of serving a goal beyond yourself. But at the fear level, we never stop to take a breath, so it never enters into our awareness to use this terrific life force in a creative way. Thus, the whole energy of stubbornness and deafness within this gene key results in a planet where most of the world still has to struggle to survive. At the same time, the minority of people who do not outwardly struggle, the developed countries, continue to struggle internally through the stresses of living lives without a strong sense of purpose. The repressive nature of this 38th shadow is defeatist, and the majority of the Western or developed world also holds this attitude. People simply do not have the perseverance to tackle the great issues, for example, world poverty. And this collective defeatism means that we do not even try. Repressive nature. Defeatist. The defeatist attitude is one pole of this archetype. It is what happens when the energy within this gene key collapses. Those with this kind of nature store an enormous amount of tension in their bodies. This tension results from their failure to direct their huge life force in a direction that serves a higher purpose than their own. These are people who at some level, deep inside themselves, have given up, resulting in a dampening of all enthusiasm for life. At its extreme, this becomes deep depression. These people tend not to project their misery outward, but internally blame themselves, thus locking the energy even deeper in their body. Unfortunately, there is no way that an outside influence can pull someone out of this state of shutdown. It takes a huge inner motivation within the individual to lift free of their own inner demons. However, once they find a cause worth fighting for, suddenly all that latent energy is released into the world and the tension leaves their being. Reactive nature. Aggressive. Just as the repressive nature lacks the stomach for a fight, so the reactive nature cannot help fighting, yet always ends up fighting the wrong things and the wrong people. The reactive nature is about projection. These are people who project all their anger and aggression onto others. They are the people who embody the very definition of struggle, to fight for no purpose. Having no sense of purpose, they are constantly locked in combat with other people in order to release the pent-up tension in their bodies. They actually become addicted to fighting as a means to discharge this tension they feel inside. Obviously, these people do not have successful and loving relationships. They can be tyrannical and controlling. If, on the other hand, they are able to channel this aggression into some kind of higher purpose, then they immediately drop their aggressiveness and transform the shadow into the gift of perseverance. The 38th gift, perseverance. The indomitable spirit of the underdog. The only difference between the 38th shadow and the 38th gift is the nature of the fight. You have only to find the right fight, and your whole experience of this gene key changes. As you pour your heart, body, and soul into a fulfilling fight, it ceases to be a struggle. Here you learn the difference between meeting obstacles and fighting resistance. Resistance is what occurs when you are pushing against the universal flow and is a hallmark of all the shadow states. Obstacles, however, are natural to the rhythm of life. Obstacles test your commitment and surrender, allowing you to forge new skills and hone your excellence. Obstacles are always gifts in disguise. The 38th gift is designed for obstacles. In fact, it loves them. If you are someone with the 38th gift in your genetic profile, every obstacle is a wonderful and vital opportunity to feel more alive and to fulfill your higher destiny. The 38th gift is the gift of perseverance. This is a gift that really thrives when you are up against the odds. People with this gift make the impossible look effortless, even whilst exerting themselves fully. These people are extremely active and physical. They have a genetic need to push their bodies and love being right in the thick of the action. As we saw with the 38th shadow, this is not a thinking archetype. These are people of action. The only trick for them is to know when to act and when not to act, and this is where the gift of perseverance comes into play. It knows when to hold its energy back. In other words, these are people who have learned to draw breath before they rush into some new action. This breath is not so that they can think. It is simply to make sure they are responding from truth rather than reacting from fear or anger. As with the 39th gift, the 38th gift has a strong link with the archetype of the warrior. In the modern world, the path of the warrior is not what it used to be. All kinds of new domains have appeared where this gene key is now played out. There are warriors in the business world, warriors in government and education, as well as in the sciences and arts. Wherever there is a fight for a higher purpose, especially against insurmountable odds, there you will find the 38th gift stretching itself to its limits. Where the 38th shadow is always fighting out of fear, and usually for survival, the 38th gift fights for love. In our modern world, the only domain for the 38th gift is the battle against the shadow frequency, which is the battle against the collective frequency of fear. The 38th gift does not think about what it is doing. It does not stop to consider how foolish its behavior may appear. It simply knows in its heart when something is right, and once it has committed its full energy to its appointed task, it will never, never back down. Even so, this does not mean that such people are beyond fear, because they are not. However, the frequency of the gift level ensures that love always wins over fear. The 38th gift is part of a genetic codon family known as the Ring of Humanity. Each of the 6 gene keys in this group represents an archetypal aspect of the human story. In this story, the 38th gene key sets the pattern of all human struggle, the struggle of all form to reach spirit. In human beings, it is represented by the quest of the inner warrior of light against the dark forces of your lower nature. It is this quest or battle that stands behind all external human conflict. Perseverance is the most essential human attribute of the inner warrior, because the darker forces of human instinct are so deeply embedded in our nature. Thus, it is often through defeat that human beings learn to be stronger. Over time, through perseverance, love, and trust, you will eventually attain victory and experience your own divinity. People with the 38th gift become our heroes. These people take a stand, absorb all the obstacles along their path, and eventually win their battles despite appearing to be the underdog. With the 38th gift comes the certainty of final victory. The only necessity is to find the right battles. For them, the right battles are those that empower others to stand up for themselves rather than remain victims of mass propaganda. There are 2 huge benefits to the collective that emerge from the manifestation of this 38th gift. The first is a great challenge to the collective fear. It says that nothing is impossible if you stand up for what you believe in. The lives of people with the 38th gift are living proof of this. The second benefit is that the 38th gift also proves that you can fight a battle and win without resorting to violence and corruption. This does not mean that the 38th gift is in any way soft. On the contrary, it can be fiercely aggressive in its service of a higher goal. Many of the qualities that may be perceived as negative in the 38th shadow become incredibly potent when they are put in service of a higher aspiration. Stubbornness can be an awesome quality when it is used to wear down a more powerful enemy. Aggression can be channeled into an appropriate force or used as a specific tactic at specific times. Even deafness can be wonderful when you need to edit out the negative propaganda of others. All of these qualities are fused together into this single word, perseverance. What's more, a further aspect comes into play at the gift level that is lacking at the shadow level. Thrill. The experience of fighting a battle against the odds, but for a higher purpose, fills you with an indomitable spirit that feeds on itself and becomes stronger and stronger. At a certain level, this spirit enters into the realm of an extremely pure frequency, one that gives its name to the 38th Siddhi, the realm of honor. The 38th Siddhi, honor. Greater love hath no man. Honor is a dynamic, living energy field in itself. It is the city that dawns when the warrior archetype reaches its ultimate potential. Honor is the energy field of every single human being when they are living their individual truth. In this sense, honor is something of a paradox. Even though it seems to be the peak of human individuality, it also binds all human beings together at the level of the higher self. In the field of honor, all human beings become one. This is the true meaning of the highest warrior code. Honor turns combat into a dance. It is the swordplay of love itself. With honor, death is transcended and any human action can become immortalized. Even the act of killing another can become honorable if it is performed from within the energy field of true honor. In such extreme cases, the one who is killed must always give permission to the conqueror in order for the true contract of honor to unite them. What, then, constitutes an act of honor? Honor is rooted in a love so pure that it sacrifices itself without a thought to serve a higher aspiration. Every act of honor carries an equalizing force into the world rather than a divisive force. This is how you can tell whether it is true or not. If the act brings people together into the high frequency field, it is an act of honor. Honor always carries the frequency of mercy and surrender within it. Many appalling acts are committed in the name of honor. Only if they have the effect of uniting all people involved and if they contain mercy are they honorable. In this sense, the whole essence of honor is contained in the expression of honoring another. To honor someone is to hold them to their highest frequency, no matter what their current frequency may be. Thus, a person manifesting honor may be subjected to all manner of victimization at the hands of dishonorable people, but he or she will still never sink to their level. On the contrary, he or she will continue to honor them and hold them in the highest regard. The city of honor carries a certain type of mythology within it. We need to remember the journey consciousness takes through this gene key, from struggle to perseverance to honor. The final accolade of honor represents a complete transcendence of all struggle, but at the same time, it still speaks the language of battle. This means that the 38th city retains a deep mythic connection to struggle, aggression, and all the darkest sides of human nature. People in whom this city manifests are the highest form of warrior. They become our holy warriors, those people who cannot be tarnished by the world and who surmount the most awesome of obstacles. The 38th gene key, as we have repeatedly seen, loves a fight. These people have raised the frequency of that fight to a dance, to sacred theatre, and upon that stage they play their role with utter surrender. When the civic state occurs within a human being, that being loses all sense of a separate self. In many ways, they are simply shells through which their genetics continue to function. You might call them empty, or more accurately, you may say they were filled with the essence of life itself, or divinity. Every civic state carries such a powerful vibration that it either strikes fear in someone's heart or it inspires that one to greatness. Either way, honor always reveals a person's true nature. The 38th city is closely allied to the theme of death. Honor and death have always been closely associated. This is because the ultimate honor is to give your life for the sake of others. As Christ himself spoke, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." In our ancestral past, this city has long been deeply associated with conflict and war. However, at the civic level, this association is symbolic rather than literal. For the 38th city fights to bring an end to all human conflict. At times, it may enter into human conflict and sacrifice itself to bring about that end. Nonetheless, in truth, This city, like all other cities, is based upon the utter respect for all sentient life. The ultimate fight, then, is the fight against fear. This has been symbolized forever by the forces of light fighting against the forces of darkness. As the true warrior of light, the 38th city does not fight the lower nature. Rather, it absorbs the forces of darkness deep inside itself through its actions, and in doing so shines out with immense purity in the world. Honor is not about winning or losing. In a sense, the role of honor is to make a mockery of the entire concept of winning and losing. More often than not, honor is embodied when a stronger force deliberately surrenders to a weaker force. In other words, the being of light surrenders itself into the powers of darkness. This reversal of the human norm tends to highlight the futility of all human conflict and often results in the weaker force being transformed or converted. Such is the paradoxical power of an act of true honor. It always turns surrender into victory. This surrender is symbolized by death itself, since any true surrender signifies death to the separate self. After death, the honorable act only grows more and more in power until it becomes mythic. One of the most obvious examples of this is the surrender of Christ on the cross. Whenever a city dawns in a human being, its programming partner is also activated simultaneously. Thus, with the 38th city, we also see the 39th city of liberation manifesting. This shows the true nature of honor, to unleash a chain reaction resulting in a stream of dynamic liberating energy lasting for generations and generations. At the shadow level, we also see how the 38th gene key is connected to the 28th gene key through our genetics. Thus, we can see the interlinking of the themes of honor and immortality, the 28th city. Every true act of honor endures forever. People never forget the truly great lives, and as their stories are told and retold down the ages, the civic energy of the original being simply continues inspiring and liberating others. This is because the highest potential within every human being resonates to the field of honor. When we hear tell of a great act or a great life, whether it be contemporary or a myth from the past, it reminds us of who we truly are, warriors fighting to overcome and dispel our personal and collective fears. 39th Gene Key. The tension of transcendence. Programming partner, 38th gene key. Codon ring, the ring of seeking. 15, 39, 52, 53, 54, 58. Physiology, adrenals. Amino acid, serine. The 39th shadow, provocation. Attitude and altitude. Even though there are so many incredibly different flavors and possibilities within the human genetic matrix, there are relatively few themes governing humanity. The 21 codon rings program us collectively and individually to move along certain easily recognizable pathways. All the archetypes that appear on our television screens and in our novels and myths are therefore represented in our DNA. The 39th gene key and its programming partner, the 38th gene key, hold a truly unique place in our collective cosmology. Above all other archetypes, these two represent the myth of the warrior. Legends and myths have extraordinary power over our different cultures. Even today, when campfire stories have been replaced by the silver screens in our living rooms, the myth of the warrior still holds us captive. We shall see in due course why we aspire so strongly to attain the highest frequencies of this 39th gene key. Meanwhile, the equally potent lower frequencies of the 39th shadow are extremely sinister, as they currently hold the majority of humanity within their thrall. The 39th shadow is responsible for maintaining a planetary vibration dominated by a single quality, violence. Rooted in your adrenaline system, this 39th gene key is a highly dynamic code that is all about action. It has a gutsy, explosive, and primal quality to it. People with these gifts and shadows are not led by their heads, but by the primitive urge to act, whether wisely or foolishly. You can see from both the repressive and reactive sides of the spectrum that this is a dangerous shadow with which to cross paths. It is rooted in the fear of being trapped, which is essentially the fear of losing your individual freedom to act. We all know how dangerous animals become when trapped, and we humans carry that same fear in our ancestral DNA. There are many reasons why humans can be incited to violence, but here we find one of the oldest reasons of all, the threat to individual freedom. The 39th shadow is like a cobra waiting to strike. This violence is personal, and when aimed precisely at its target, seldom misses. We most often see its manifestation in our personal relationships. This is the shadow of provocation, or, in everyday language, button pushing. Have you ever wondered how it is that your partner, parent, or child knows the precise code, tone, and word that really provokes your anger? Violence comes in many forms, and it does not have to be physical. Emotional violence is acoustic, using intonation to achieve its result. It isn't what they say, it's in the tone they use. Tone never lies, although it is usually totally unconscious. Like a child whining at the exact pitch that irritates you, every provocation has its tone. When someone is trying to make you feel guilty, for example, they unconsciously use a self-pitying tone that touches the exact location of your guilt. It's all rooted in sound. As we have seen throughout this book, genes can be adapted, even though they cannot easily be altered. It is a matter of frequency, and frequency is about sound. As your attitude shifts, so your frequency shifts. If you focus only on the negative aspects of a situation, then your frequency drops. If you focus on the positive, then it lifts. It depends on which octave you are tuned to. Attitude, in this sense, is always acoustic. What kind of process does information go through as it enters your ears? How have you wired your own thinking and feeling to respond to the myriad intonations from the environment? Until you create an inner transformer to tune out lower frequencies and tune in higher ones, the lower frequencies will hit your DNA and bounce back as a reaction rooted in a similar low frequency. The 39th shadow has a single goal, to provoke you. If you are easily provoked by a person, any person, then you are under the influence of the lower frequency of this shadow. You are trapped as soon as you react to the provocation. The provoker and the provoked are simply playing out an age-old chess game of abuser and victim. Most of us play both roles at different times and with different people. The programming partner of the 39th shadow is the 38th shadow of struggle. It is a genetic law that the moment you react violently, emotionally or physically, to an emotional provocation, you are engaging with the energy of struggle and effort. In this instance, the violence is aimed personally and directly at a single person. This is different from anger that is simply released in a more healthy way without being directed towards anyone in particular. The power of the 39th shadow over human beings lies in our tendency to take things personally. The astonishing reason for this is that we think we exist as individuals, whereas in fact we are quantum patterns in an ever-changing web of energy. The next time someone provokes you emotionally, try to understand what really just happened to you. If you reduce it down to essentials, all that happened was that someone resonated some speech codes by means of their vocal cords, and this simple collection of tones caused you to react in a violent, unconscious, emotional manner. In the old days, they would have called that other person a wizard to exert such control over you. In light of the aforementioned, all violence can be understood as an acoustic field in which individuals react automatically and personally to speech codes according to preconditioned patterns. In other words, violence is an addiction for most people on our planet, which is why we endlessly watch it on our television screens. Even so, most of us feel that we have very little to do with the world news or the many atrocities going on in the world around us. We tend to think that these situations are the fault of other people. However, the deepest and most shocking truth is that every time we either provoke or are provoked by someone else in an emotionally violent manner, we are propagating the world energy field of violence and co-creating these very news headlines. All patterns held at a low frequency trap the human life force deep within your body. The 39th shadow ensures that you do not breathe deeply. When you do not breathe fully, you deplete your energy and reduce your capacities. One of the sure signs of the 39th shadow is fatigue. People who lack dynamism in life are people who have allowed themselves to feel trapped in some way. The irony is that the solution does not lie in changing their outer lives, but in changing their attitude. When your attitude changes, then your outer life begins to reflect this. If you just change your outer circumstances without changing your attitude, you will simply end up feeling trapped again. One final intriguing insight about this 39th shadow is that it influences the shape of the human body. The shape of your body is primarily determined by the way you metabolize the food you eat. When you operate at a low frequency, you cannot metabolize your food properly, so you feel hungrier than you actually are. However, it is your spirit that is hungry rather than your body, and no matter how much food you eat, you will never quite feel sated. Your spirit is actually hungry for creativity. It has an urgent need to express its inner beauty. Thus, the world reflects the 39th shadow through global eating patterns. In the West, one of the great new health problems is obesity, whereas in the East, it is malnutrition. These are both outward reflections of the power of the 39th shadow operating at a collective genetic level. Until we humans release our own unique creativity into the world, we will be caught in one of these two uncomfortable extremes. Repressive nature. Trapped. The foundation of each of the 64 shadows is to be found in its repressive nature, the state of fear. Fear lies even deeper than anger, which lies at the source of the reactive nature. When fear is expressed, it becomes anger. However, when fear is not expressed, it traps us. All repression is rooted in being trapped. The most perfect trap is the one that we are unaware of, and this is the case with the 39th shadow. What is really trapped is our unlimited reservoir of life force and creativity. The majority of humanity is in fact trapped by the lowest frequencies of the 64 gene keys. It is fear that keeps us asleep. Those with the 39th shadow in their nature are the ones whose life energy is often most frozen. Locked into habitual emotional patterns, their awesome human potential lies completely inert, as though asleep. This is why human awakening can be such a powerful event, because as we awaken, our life force is released and our latent creativity is born. Reactive nature. Provocative. The first stage in awakening is, in fact, to get angry. It takes the energy of anger to crack the layers and layers of inertia and repressed fear. As we begin to feel our fear, it transfers into anger, and we begin to act it out or project it onto others. This is the energy of provocation. It is actually fear made dynamic, but there is not yet freedom within it. We are still trapped by our anger and by our need to externalize our fear through causing others pain. People who are provocative by nature are usually unconscious of the fact. By provoking others, they are simply heaping misery back on themselves. Such people are really seeking love at a deep level, but are doing so through negative attention, which is abusive. Most human beings are caught by the lower frequencies of this 39th gene key, witnessed by every time we speak words whose underlying intention is to cause pain to another. The 39th gift, dynamism, the pressure of creativity. As you activate the higher frequency of this gene key, you begin to have a notion of the nature of the energy that drives all children. As we know, children seem to have endless energy that just crackles in the very air around them. Many parents are literally dumbfounded by how active children are every moment they are awake. This is the raw energy of the 39th gift, the gift of dynamism. It is interesting to note how, as you make the transition from child to adult and your personal and cultural conditioning gradually take you over, you also experience a decline in your natural dynamism. By the age of 7 years old, most of your inherent patterns are already set in stone. It is therefore essential that children be given enormous amounts of time and space within their first 7 years, as their natural dynamism needs to flow in an unimpeded manner. Of course, children need boundaries, but primarily in their first 7 years, all they really need to do is play. Play is dynamism exemplified. It is the unbridled expression of the basic energy of life. Sadly, in many cultures, mostly Western, children are sent to school at some point within their first 7 years, and their natural 7-year cycle of unstructured play is interrupted. This early emphasis on mental learning interferes with the child's basic genetic need to express its dynamism through its body rather than through its mind. One of the reasons for modern society's insistence on early learning is our misunderstanding of the difference between knowledge and genius. There is a collective belief that genius is something of a freak occurrence, that it is somehow not the norm. There is also a collective belief that genius has to do with knowledge rather than intelligence. But true intelligence has nothing to do with the mind, even though it can manifest through the mind. Genius is simply the fruit of a natural intelligence that has not been interfered with. Whereas knowledge can be forced, genius needs to be given a great deal of time and space to develop organically. The first 7 years of a child's life is the natural seeding time of their later genius. Having said all of that, the news is not all bad. No matter how good or bad your upbringing may have been, all conditioning can be reversed. However, this deconditioning usually involves a journey of awakening in which you have to raise your own frequency back to its original state. When this occurs, your natural dynamism returns, and it returns as creativity. The same energy that is play for the young child matures into creativity and genius in adults. One of the simplest and quickest ways to raise your frequency is to do what you love in life. If you do what you truly love, you will unleash your creative dynamism, and the more creative you are, the more energy becomes available to you. This is the simple equation that is missed by so many people. As with each of the gene keys that are a part of this codon ring, the ring of seeking, the 39th gift creates enormous pressure in the individual and their immediate environment. It is this pressure that gives rise to so much creativity. The same pressure that was provocative at a low frequency is also provocative at a higher frequency, but it is a matter of what you provoke. At the low frequency, fear provokes fear, and anger provokes anger. At the higher frequency level of the 39th gift, dynamism can be contagious. Whenever you meet someone expressing their latent genius, it draws you in. In such a person's presence, you feel capable of so much more, and your horizons expand as you begin to breathe fully once again. You will be amazed at how prolific people of genius can be in terms of their creativity. They never seem to run out of energy, as though they are being driven by a force beyond themselves. This is the 39th gift in action. It is about action and energy. It doesn't wait, but initiates, pushes, sparks, and catalyzes. A person living out the 39th gift unleashes a tidal wave of creative activity wherever they go. The other aspect of the 39th gift is that it knows no fear. This is the true spirit of the warrior. There are many grades of warrior. There are those who simply fight unconsciously because they cannot help it. These are the people who cannot resist whatever it is that has provoked them to action. But there are higher types of warrior too, those who are provoked but who manage to control and direct their anger. Because these people are operating out of a higher frequency of awareness, they will defeat those who cannot control their anger. Beyond even this, at the siddhic level, are those rare warriors who cannot be provoked at all. They have seen the nature of reality. There are no individuals in the first place, which makes it impossible to play the game of conflict anymore. In conclusion, we can see that at the gift level of frequency, the same energy that gives rise to violence becomes creative action. The provocative energy of this gene key is no longer used in reaction, but is now used in the service of provoking creativity and freedom in others. The energy of the 39th gift is not afraid of hurting another person's feelings if it means breaking them out of a lower frequency energy pattern. The pressure of dynamism cannot help but create more dynamism. The real essence of this 39th gift is thus to touch other people's spirits in a way that helps them break out of their traps and into higher levels of freedom and energy. The 39th Siddhi, Liberation, the Crux Point. Perhaps, from listening to and contemplating this 39th gene key, you can begin to have a sense of what happens as this same energy hits the highest planes of frequency. There is always a point where the gift suddenly makes the quantum leap to the Siddhi and the blossom becomes the fruit. In the case of the 39th gift, dynamism becomes liberation when it finally forgets itself entirely. The 39th gene key is highly individualistic. It has to be, in order not to be taken in by the status quo. Unique creativity has to break out of all conditioned patterns in order to rise to the heights of genius. The ring of seeking provides the pressure that drives human beings to eventually transcend themselves. At the siddhic level, an interesting thing occurs when all this genetic pressure breaks through to a higher dimension. Consciousness merges back into the totality, which means that it has to give up its greatest gift, individual freedom. There is a great irony here. Only in giving up the illusion of your individual freedom can you receive an even greater gift, the liberation of being. Few people are able to make the transition from creative genius to divinity because you must give up the very thing that appears to fuel your creativity, your individuality. To the genius, the giving up of one's individuality seems akin to death, but in order to attain siddhic state, you must pass through the gift level of consciousness and give up your seeking. This means that with every one of the 64 gene keys, you will have to give up your hard-earned gift in all its glory in order to make the leap to the final level. Dynamism, as we have seen, feeds upon itself. To be dynamic is to create more and more possibilities through action. The byproduct of dynamism is that it serves many people, which in turn raises its vibration. The more people you serve, the more rarefied your frequency becomes, until one day you reach the crux point. The crux point is not easy to describe. It cannot be predicted, and it cannot be prepared for. Mystics have usually described it as a death and a subsequent rebirth. In the case of the 39th